In Luke's Gospel, Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, right after his baptism and his temptation in the wilderness. Jesus goes to his hometown and shocks his family and friends with his focused, determined sense of call. Jesus has been anointed by the Holy Spirit in his baptism. He has been tested and strengthened through his wilderness time. And now he's proclaiming his purpose, who he is for us and for the world. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Today. Jesus is saying that he is the one. He is the one sent by God to bring healing, to bring forgiveness, to bring sight, to bring justice, to bring mercy to us and to all people. Jesus is proclaiming in his action, in his words, that the waiting is over. The time is now. The time is now. If you were to ask me why it is that I'm a Christian, what it is about Jesus that makes me want to follow this path, who I say Jesus is, I would talk with you about this reading from Luke, this story of Jesus in the synagogue reading from the prophet Isaiah. There is something about this story that touches my heart and gives me hope and gives me energy to help others. In this reading, I connect with Jesus as the one who has the power to bring healing to me personally and healing to our world. Now, that the wait is over, that we are invited to be part of the Jubilee year, the year when all debts would be forgiven and all the slaves would be free and all who had been oppressed would have a fresh start. We are a faith community that listens to these words, living words, enlivened by the Spirit for us today. We are a community that listens to these words and follows the one who desires our healing, who desires that we see, who desires that we are part of bringing justice to all people now. What is the healing for which you long? Personally, societally, and environmentally. When you hear Jesus say that he is the one and the time is now, open your heart to that possibility and imagine what God wants for you, God who created you and adores you. Imagine what God wants for our world, and how God may be inviting you to help, how God might be inviting Holy Comforter to help. Yes, we are helping in many ways already. This is part of who we are. On the Sunday of my installation as your rector and the celebration of the renewal of our ministry, we brought bags of food to the altar, and you invited me as your rector to join in our ministry with those in need through these words. Hillary, receive this food and join with us in the ministry of feeding the hungry, those who hunger for bread and justice. And I replied, Amen. May our ministry to and with our neighborhood, the city, and the world bring hope and peace through our commitment to making God's reign visible. In all of our efforts to make God's reign visible, to be co-creators with God who desires the healing and liberation of all people and all systems, in all that we do, may we always open ourselves to hear the words of Jesus that day at the start of his ministry, and know that God has also anointed us and called us and will always be with us to lead and strengthen us in our efforts to live into God's reign. And may those words of Jesus give us hope and determination, knowing that in Christ and through Christ, the reign, the healing, and the justice of God has been known and seen in us and through us and among us through the power of the Spirit. And that the time is now to live into God's reign. Jesus said, "The time is now. These words have been fulfilled in your hearing. No more need to wait for God to act, to send a Savior. The time is now." Patience is a virtue. We've been told that our whole lives, from the first time that we wanted something now, and our parents told us we had to wait. Patience is a spiritual virtue, but waiting from the faith perspective does not mean doing nothing and waiting for God to make everything right. Waiting for us means taking an active role in our personal healing and in the healing of the world, knowing that it won't all happen today, but that tomorrow can be better because of the choices that we make today. I wonder sometimes what time is for God. How does God experience time? Alan Jones, retired dean of Grace Cathedral in San Francisco, wrote a small prayer book entitled Hour by Hour, in which he says this about time. The spiritual tradition tells us that time is a creature, part of creation. Time is one of the things over which we have no control. It cannot be stopped or manipulated, and it flows in only one direction, at least as far as we know. It can, however, be sanctified. The minutes, hours, days, months, and years are capable of being woven into a pattern of praise and penitence, giving shape to our joys and our sorrows, our tragedies and triumphs. I like this idea of sanctifying time. We do that through our prayers by praying throughout the day, as Jones is encouraging. And we sanctify time through our prayerful actions that make God's reign visible. As our Book of Common Prayer states, prayer is responding to God by thought and by deeds, with or without words. This past week, we remembered and celebrated the work and ministry of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. We remember and celebrate even as we mourn, continue to mourn his death. And we grieve that there is still racism in our city, in our country, in our world. In Dr. King's last Sunday sermon, given at our National Cathedral just days before he was assassinated, Dr. King spoke about time and how we as Christians need to understand our relationship to time. He said, "The hour has come for everybody, for all institutions of the public sector and the private sector, to work to get rid of racism. And now, if we are to do it, we must honestly admit certain things and get rid of certain myths that have constantly been disseminated all over our nation. One is the myth of time, It is the notion that only time can solve the problem of racial injustice. And there are those who often sincerely say to the Negro and his allies in the white community, "Why don't you slow up? Stop pushing things so fast. Only time can solve the problem. And if you will just be nice and patient and continue to pray, in 100 or 200 years, the problem will work itself out." There is an answer to that myth. It is that time is neutral. It can be used either constructively or destructively. And I'm sorry to say this morning that I'm absolutely convinced that the forces of ill will in our nation, the extreme rightists of our nation, the people on the wrong side, have used time much more effectively than the forces of goodwill. And it may well be that we have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of bad people, but for the appalling silence and indifference of the good people who sit around and say, "Wait on time." Somewhere we must come to see that human progress never rolls in on the wheels of inevitability. It comes through the tireless efforts and persistent work of dedicated individuals who are willing to be co-workers with God. And without this hard work, time itself becomes an ally of the primitive forces of social stagnation. So we must help time and realize that the time is always ripe to do right. Dr. King preached this sermon on March 31st, 1968, and his message about time and justice is as needed now as it was then. Certainly, the allies of justice have used time in these last almost 48 years to fight racism, and there have been victories. We've come a long way in some ways. But sadly, there is still so much more to do, and some days it seems like we haven't come very far at all. And this is true of all things in the world that are not just, of all that needs healing in our lives and in our communities, that time can be our ally or not, and it's really up to us. Time alone won't do it for us. Waiting for justice never works. The time is always ripe to do right. The time is now to be co-workers with God, to make God's reign visible, to stand with Jesus in the synagogue as he speaks of who he is, and by implication, who we are who join with him, that he has been anointed to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. As those who follow the way of Jesus, we stand with him on that day, and he stands with us now on this day. God, through Christ, strengthens us and gives us hope to be people who are about healing and justice now. Amen. Our blessing for today. The Spirit is still at work among us, disciples of Christ, sending us to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to those in captivity, to be healers and a freedom force against all oppression. Go boldly as disciples, trusting in the Spirit's guidance. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.